Thank you. So good morning, everyone. Thank you for sticking around. And the last day of APHA is always interesting. So I think this really complements a lot of what we were speaking about. And I'm glad that, you know, you all came before me in terms of sort of setting up the stage and giving a lot of context, actually, to some of the data that we present here. And so I'll want to acknowledge all my colleagues and co-authors in this work, and the two of them are here. We're with the University of Iowa and the College of Public Health, and we're also part of the Prevention Research Center for Rural Health, which Dr. Ammerman spoke about in terms of being funded through the CDC as well. So we are part of that network, too. Nothing to disclose other than, yeah, we want relationships, so we don't want to, nothing other than that, and also acknowledge the support of the PRC and the work that we do in Iowa. So the mission of the Prevention Research Center for Rural Health is improve the health of rural communities in Iowa by establishing and maintaining partnerships to conducting research that addresses priorities or health priorities for the community that are mutual interest in leveraging the collected resources that we exist in the community. So that's a really important part of the work. They engage the research that we do with our community is really looking also at the assets and resources that the community have to expand on that. But definitely we need to look also where are the needs and where are the deficiencies and so we can help set the priorities. And that's what I will sort of be discussing today, a little bit of process, how we have formed our partnership in Atambua, describing a little bit of Atambua as well, but also how the process of setting up the priorities and the data that we now have to do that. So Atambua, Iowa is in the southeastern corner of the state, and is the definition that we went with was the micropolitan city, so perhaps we can get a better definition, but it's definitely in the context of rural and a rural state. The population of the city is about 25,000, and it's more of the urban or the sort of the major city of that particular region. So a lot of people come there for grocery shopping, for business, and still it's a pretty small town. There are two top employers in there, and the employers there is a meat packing plant, John Deere, which has a big industry there, and then the Atambua Regional Health Center. So again, talking about a healthcare expenditure and hospital access, that is the town where, you know, most people come to go to the doctor as well. One of the interesting things and one of the reasons why in Atambua, and I should also acknowledge that we, at least, have been just starting to learn more about rural health and the implications of it. So I've been living in Iowa now for a year and a half, so it's really a new field for me. But one of the reasons also why we're there is because the growth of the Latino community and the influx of the Latino community in the Midwest in general, and in particular in this city, it's about 11% of the population now is Latino. So when we think about absolute numbers, that doesn't sound a lot when you compare it to Chicago or all the bigger cities. But for this size of town, this amount of Latinos has really kind of changed the social landscape and the priorities and how they address some of their low resources issues that they already have. So this town, in the Midwest in general, towns like this, sort of are being sort of coined as a new destination communities, which means where our Latinos are moving in and creating these new dynamics, and others call it emerging communities and so on, but we went with this idea of creating the destination, and part of it is because the kind of industries that exist in this particular town. So this is one of the first things that we did after doing many key informant interviews and really getting to know the stakeholders in the community. We invited people, different stakeholders, to be part of our advisory board, and this is a list of the different organizations that are represented in the board. We're definitely looking for other partners as well, and so it's an evolving board, and it's growing as the needs change, and we learn to as a partnership, actually, it's been strengthened. So in order to set up our community assessment, we really needed to look and see what we have so far, right? Because we have a lot of data, and so I'm so glad to hear that this report is being put together. It's not going to come soon enough for us, I don't think. But in terms of, so we went to the most available data that we have, and that was the health rankings database, where we were able to pull the data from the county of Wapello, where is where the city of Atamwa is located. So we look at that data and compare it to our county, then Iowa and the United States. So I'm not really going to read all these numbers, but just to demonstrate those disparities, right? And we share this data with our advisory board, with our stakeholders, to really look at this. And sort of for them, it was almost confirming the issues that they already know exist. But again, this data wasn't particular to the city of Atamwa, and it really didn't answer some of the detailed questions that they have about some of the health priorities that they wanted to address. So definitely see the physical and activity sort of key health behaviors that we know are related to a lot of the morbidity, mortality that we've been discussing so far today. Some of the social and economic factors, again, this data is really rich in terms of the different indicators that they have. So we look at unemployment, poverty, which is inadequate social support, again, violent crime, which is also pretty high compared to Iowa and the state. So again, this idea that, oh, rural communities are safer, or perhaps that, you know, everybody have access to health care. But when you really look deeper, then disparities sometimes are really broad. And that's, at least for a newcomer, it has been shocking to find these details. Last one, again, some of the more physical environment aspects, which we know are also related to health. So that's the other part that I think we brought as an academic partner into this collaboration, is that we're not looking just at individual level behaviors, but really looking outside the individual and thinking about social factors and built environment or physical factors that we know are associated with your health outcomes. So really having that conversation with the community partners in terms of what other things we need to look around in our community. So we set to do our 2013 Atamwa Health Community Survey to really understand the health issues facing the community, determining some of the social, economical, structural factors associated with some of these issues that the community were facing, and then using this information in the process to set the priorities with our advisory board and the community at large. Some of the methods where we met for over 6 months, we were working on designing an intervention. We had a subcommittee from our advisory board, and we worked with them and partnered with them to develop what constructs and what questions we were going to have in our survey. Then we partnered with the University of Northern Iowa Center for Social and Behavioral Research, which they do actually our Iowa version of the Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance Survey to help us doing a randomized digital dialing survey. We wanted to oversample households with Latino surnames to really get to this new community that exists in Atamwa. We recognized that we needed a dual sample frame, just because we know that a lot of people also start giving up their landlines. So we needed to account for those that were just using cell phones. We did this only with adults, so 18 and older, and we had a small compensation for them, and we implemented the survey from April to June this year. So these results are still very preliminary, what I'm going to show you, and we're still working on the data as well, and we're moving forward. As part of this participatory process, we're really discussing with the community what are we presenting, how we're going to use the data, and so on. So a little bit more information about our method. So we did a random selection of households so we can establish a probability sample. We aim for 1,000 surveys and then trying to do a subsample or of 300 Latinos, where we conducted phone interviews. We're in the process of data analysis, and then also the community conversations to interpret, establish the priorities. So these are some of the constructs and the domains of our survey and some of the examples of the questions. So you can see here we getting a quality of life as one of our main outcomes, health behaviors, of course, healthcare access, but also community resources, perceptions of the neighborhood context, food access, parental stress, which we heard a lot from the community. So this was something that they felt very strong about. We need to sort of learn more about, you know, the indicators of parental stress, discrimination, and the idea of being discriminated against because they live in a rural town. And furthermore, if you are a Latino, an African American, which we have a small community in Atambo as well. And for Latinos in particular, as you sure figured out by now, that's part also my interest. And so acculturation, immigration, and the cultural context, and how they are sort of adjusting to this new community. So we ended up with a sample of 1,096 surveys completed. Our sample also tends to be much older, so we definitely are going to look further into the differences between ages, because we think a lot of the indicators will change based on that. Annual income between 30,000 and 35,000. Most of the respondents were female. We got about 7% of our sample was Latino. We really had a hard time reaching out to Latinos through this survey, even though it was available in Spanish. We tried to really get it through different times. But we decided to stop and just work with the data that we have and sort of learn from it and then move forward and figure out other ways that we are going to partner with Latinos to really get them to have a voice in this process. About 98% of them reported have completed at least high school, and we have the percentage of unemployment about 4%. So most people live there because of the industries that exist. So I'm always really concerned about what happens if the meatpacking plant Cargill closes, because we know that happened, for example, I know in North Carolina and some towns and in other places, you know, so that really devastates the community when, you know, there are so few industries that they depend on. Quality of life, so here we're comparing a little bit to sort of establish a little bit of the disparities that we think exist in terms of the numbers and quality of life reporting in our survey, what we find in general in Iowa and in the United States. Health behaviors, about 76% reported excellent to good health, which is good, but then again, we will look deeper in terms of among Latinos and then by age or gender, and we think that potentially we'll find some difference. Number of minutes of physical activity, which is a really important health behavior, is pretty low, so definitely we're already looking into addressing that in community-wide interventions. People that have health insurance, so it's a pretty high rate, but access to healthcare is still pretty limited, and we assume, again, because of the older age, mean that perhaps they have or they have some federal assistance in terms of their care. High rates of smoking, so definitely something that we're looking into. Five fruit, vegetables, consumption of fruits and vegetables is also very low. So we have plenty of work to do. And when it comes down to categorizing people into levels of weight and overweight and obesity, our numbers are pretty comfortable with what happened across the country instead of percentage. Some of the data in terms of the neighborhood characteristics, again, and most of this data is from, you know, the higher score is a better perception of neighborhood safety, social cohesion. So a lot of it's still pretty in the middle. So we're looking that there's a lot of work to be done. Discrimination, this is a general score, but we're looking into see more details and see what are the sources of discrimination that we might find in that data. Neighborhood violence also, we measure that, so to compare to the other data that we have. But again, it's a higher. Interesting enough, they report higher walkability. So to make a comment on the question previously, and what they have done in Atambo is a really interesting experience, at least in Iowa in general too, is that they are developing these trail systems through the community, so using old rail systems or just building them, and people are very proud of what the work that they're doing. So now it's getting people to actually use them, right? So, and it's been a lot of effort in terms of developing and building these trail systems that connect different cities and different parks and the rivers that goes through the city. But then again, can we get people to use it? And because we're in the Midwest, weather is always, you know, it's going to be part of the lifestyle. So how do we get people then to continue being physically active during the winter? And that's when schools become really important in the community to maintain them open and ready for people to use them as well. So some of the current work that we're doing, so definitely maintaining you know, using the data, setting up these priorities, physical activity, because of they already have the system. So again, this idea that because the resources that they have, we have this the trail system that they have there, we're really looking at interventions that perhaps can address and motivate people to actually use them and help them to be physically active. Also, we're looking at the health for Latino men. So really, they are had a very vibrant soccer league in the town. So they get together, and it's a year-round soccer league. So again, they are sort of modeling after other towns in the Midwest and in the South where this influx of Latinos have built their networks around sports. So we really want to learn more about how can we use that system to promote health among the community. Other colleagues of us are also working with elder health and looking at social networks and social systems that exist in the community. And myself is also involved in Redes de la Salud, which is networks of health with Latinos, again, looking at more where are the businesses. They have built these businesses and opened doors to grocery stores, to restaurants, to tortillerias, and it's a lot of food. We were talking about that. So how do we use these natural settings where they trust, where they believe that they can go to really do a lot of health promotion and outreach? So definitely there's a lot going on, and we realized that we were doing several assessments at the same time, and people got kind of confused that, well, which survey is this? So we realized we needed to be a little bit more strategic about how much we asked the community at once. But everybody seems very engaged or very excited about the process here. So I have mentioned this before, definitely communicating, disseminating the findings, making sure that this data is, we can share it with our community partners. So we have different organizations, the school system, so they will get access to the direct data. And we're working with them to determine what kind of analysis that we're going to be doing, supporting other investigators and our partnerships to develop other interventions, and continuing growing our advisory board. These are just want to acknowledge them again, because without our partners there, we couldn't do this work. And I think that's it. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you.